this meeting of the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority Strategic Planning Committee. And recall roll, please.
Chair Weisler?
Here.
Director Sweeney?
Here.
Director Tom?
Here.
Chair, we have a call.
And I don't know that we have any indication of a desire for public comment this morning, but let's make that, open that up for that possibility briefly. Is there anyone who wants to comment? Yes?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was trying to get the door closed.
Very good. Then moving along, then we have the minutes to approve from our August 15th, 2012 meeting. I trust you've had a chance to review those. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion.
Second. We have a motion and second to approve the minutes of the August 15th meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. And now moving on to Executive Director, do you want to do that introduction?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Directors. Up next, we're going to start off here, I think, with a presentation on PACE's service plans for the I-90 corridor by T.J. Ross, PACE's Executive Director. I'll invite him to come up to the podium. We really appreciate the partnership that we've had with the RTA and PACE, you know, over the last year or year and a half in planning for this transit service on the I-90 corridor. As part of the Move Illinois program, more than $2 billion has really been dedicated to reconstruct and widen the I-90 corridor, with $240 million of that amount dedicated to the transit accommodation. So again, making some provision for either, you know, a dedicated bus lane, bus on shoulder lane, but you know, a transit accommodation that we think is very important given the future travel demands and transportation demands of the region. So our partnership with PACE is very important, since no single transportation agency can tackle our congestion problems on its own, and we need to develop a multimodal corridor. As you know, that's very important to the governor as well, that we coordinate and develop multimodal options, which is very much what we're doing here. So I'd invite TJ to come on up if you'd like.
We're going to tag team.
No problem. I'm sorry. Okay, good. He's going to talk a little bit about PACE's current service. I think one of the exciting things is that there is a track record here on I-55 that is exciting, and I think tells us a lot about the potential on, I think, the I-90 corridor and other parts of the tollway system and regional transportation system. So, TJ, go away. You can introduce your colleagues.
Okay. Good morning. Christina, I'm TJ Ross. I'm the Executive Director of PACE, and with me this morning are Randy Kellum, who's our bus rapid transit project manager, and Charlotte O'Donnell, who is in service planning. I asked both of these people to be with me today because they did the service planning for this I-90 corridor, and that is the parts that they're going to take on. Charlotte is going to talk about what the existing service is and also what we plan to do short-term and long-term, and then Brandy is going to follow up with ridership projections and go through our estimates of costs and identify our funding sources that we've got identified. And then I'll wrap it all up after they're done with the project schedule and the next steps. As Christy indicated, what we're building on here is some recent improvements we had in the I-55 corridor. There's a project that was very long in the making. I talked first to RTA about this project at least 12 years ago. We went up and visited Minneapolis and saw what they were doing with bus on shoulders. And as is all things, sometimes you just have to keep pushing, and it's happened. Now, the results are pretty interesting. We've had the service that we did not really increase the service on this corridor. Made a few little changes, but it had been there for at least 12, 15 years. Our ridership has gone from 364 riders a day before this started to over 568 riders a day on the service in the corridor. We improved travel times, we improved the on-time performance, and what happens when you do that? Two neat things. ridership increased, and our operating expenses went down. We're not paying operators overtime for sitting in traffic. So, a little bit more I-90 background. You know I-90 very well, how important this is to the regional economy. I want to put it in a little bit of perspective. They're looking at projections of population on 5 miles either side, going from about 750,000 to 1 million by 2040. Right now, the number of jobs is, I think we're looking at a little under 500,000, and they expect it to go well over 600,000 jobs. By comparison, the downtown, the central loop in the city is about 500,000 jobs. And that is, I think the projections I was seeing on that much large, little bit larger area than the 500,000, I think it's up, they were talking about a growth of 90,000 jobs. This area is going to see a greater growth in jobs and end up with more people in it. Why do we think that transit can be successful here? Only 2% of the work trips into this area are using transit to get to work right now. By comparison, what's the appetite for transit? Yes, they have a lot of transit to downtown Chicago, but 57% of the suburban trips to downtown Chicago are by transit. More than that, of course, when you add in the city trips to downtown Chicago. So what we're talking about in this area, this is providing an opportunity to use transit and the difference it'll make. Now, we've been working a lot with the tollway and with RTA. We did the transit value study that we completed a little over a year ago. It supported transit expansion, identified a number of services they thought would be viable in this corridor, and that's where we've kicked off. We've kicked off of that study and moved into the next. So the neat thing about the bus service is that it is affordable, and we're going to show that to you today. And Charlotte, I think you've got the next slide, right?
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
All right, so we do have some service in I-90 currently, and so I'm just going to run through that very quickly. First off is our Route 600. Route 600 operates in the peak direction between the Northwest Transportation Center in Schaumburg at a park and ride that we have there, and operates express to the CTA Blue Line. This is our only service in the corridor that operates in that traditional city-bound direction, and we're going to improve that route, but I'll get to that in just a minute. Next up is our Route 606, and this provides service between the Rosemont CTA station and then operates on I-90 until Elmhurst Road, where it gets off and we operate locally, where we serve businesses in Schaumburg, Arlington Heights, Rolling Meadows, and Mount Prospect. Some notable places would be United Airlines, our headquarters, the Gulf Road Corridor, as well as all those business towers that you see around Woodfield. Next is Route 610. This provides express reverse commute service from the CTA Blue Line out to Prairie Stone, where Sears is located, Mary Kay, and a bunch of other large corporations. Next up is Route 616. This again provides that reverse commute service from the CTA Blue Line. It operates on I-90 from Rosemont all the way to Arlington Heights Road, where we get off there, and then we serve local streets and all the way south to Itasca. So there's a look at our services that we have today. All of this service amounts to an investment of about $2.7 million annually that we're already investing into the corridor, and we're seeing some pretty good results. Here's a snapshot of our current ridership on I-90. This is according to our second quarter data. I've been told that the ridership on 606 has actually increased to about 1,900 right now. It's about a 12% increase just in the last 3 months. Also, Route 610 has shown some ridership gains in this quarter as well, and that's mostly due to some of the interns that are coming from the city of Chicago and are part of that workforce that's going out to Prairie Stone for Sears. They recruit very heavily in the city to really attract those younger skilled workers to come out and work for them. Our existing services are producing about 2,500 riders per day, and we project this number to grow as the economy continues to recover. Also, a lot of things that we hear in our industry is that there's these big empty buses. We don't want to see big empty buses operating in corridors, especially highly visible ones like I-90. So I went out during rush hour and took some pictures of our buses, and I can assure you they are not big and empty. I am a reverse commuter from the city myself and have stood on these buses before coming out. So just to calm anyone's fears, they are not empty. Also, in addition to our traditional fixed route services on I-90, we currently have 82 van pulls that operate as part of our family of services. Some originate as far as Rockford, Illinois, and travel into our service area. Others travel out to places such as Prairie Stone, Woodfield, O'Hare, Elgin. I also am part of a van pool that reverse commutes from the Rosemont Blue Line station to our headquarters over at Pace. We also have one that originates in Rockford and one that originates in Elgin that comes to our headquarters as well. So as part of our market expansion, we hope to expand our services with van pool as well. We're also looking at a proposed park and ride at Illinois 47, which would likely be on an existing property. We're in discussions with the Village of Huntley to maybe do something at the outlet mall that's out there. Currently, the parking ride, the parking lot out there is underutilized, so we'd be hoping to build upon some of that in the future. We're also continuing discussions with Rockford's Mass Transit District, as well as the Rockford MPO, to examine their future community needs and how we might be able to partner to address some of those. And our big tool that we have right now that we can use will be this van pool market. And when we can prove some transit markets, we can look at perhaps extending out fixed route as that market continues to grow with the implementation of the new intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm Paul Wilson. As part of the roll call. So I just want to identify myself. You said there was about a $2 million cost on the buses. Do you have a sense of what the van pool cost is?
Well, the van pool actually is paid for by fares. So it really doesn't cost us anything out of pocket. Recovery ratio on these are pretty good. I think it's over 100%. We actually gain a little bit from the van pools.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now the moment that you guys have all been waiting for, we're going to talk about our expansion on I-90. Out of the four routes that I had mentioned earlier, we've got two that aren't going to change, and that would be Route 606 and Route 616. They're going to be operating in their current configuration and with their current schedules. The two existing services that are going to change are Route 610 and 600. What we're going to do with these is that they're going to have bi-directional service, which they currently don't have. So there's a pointer on here. 610, that green line right there, that's the one that operates out to Sears Prairie Stone right now. So we're in the process of working with Hoffman Estates to establish a temporary park and ride out there, again, using some of the underutilized spaces that they have at the Sears Center. Very modest to start. We're only asking for about 35 to 40 spaces where people can start to be introduced to transit in that area, and then they'll be able to take the 610 to Rosemont, where there's an abundance of jobs there, or people can connect to the Blue Line to get to Cumberland or downtown Chicago. And then there's Route 600. We already know that there's a big travel market between the CTA Blue Line and the Woodfield corporate area in Schaumburg. But currently, the only way people can get to and from there is on the 606, so they're forced to sit on that local piece. This would operate as express from Rosemont to Northwest Transportation Center, cutting people's trips down from about 35 to 40 minutes to about 25 minutes. So it's a big time savings and can mean an extra half hour in bed before you have to get on the Blue Line to come out. So, and then as for the new services, in PACE's long-term service implementation plan, we're looking to establish three more permanent park and rides. The first would be at Randall Road all the way out to the west, and then Illinois 25, and then Barrington Road. Once the park and ride is constructed at Barrington Road, we'll likely give up the temporary one at Prairie Stone. And this is being done, originally we had thought we were going to have a permanent one at Prairie Stone as well, but after working with the RTA and CMAP, we found out that the numbers for really the demographic there didn't really support one, so that's why we're looking at Barrington Road. Route 605 then would operate Monday through Saturday and would be bi-directional, serving all three of these park and rides and operating express to the Rosemont Blue Line station via I-90. The next service would be Route 607, which would serve as a branch of Route 605, providing connections to the same park and ride and terminating at the Northwest Transportation Center in Schaumburg, where people could connect with our existing services as well as some demand response services that we're also proposing as well. Now, the strength of these trunk line services will depend heavily on the success of the park and rides, as well as the support services that we're looking to implement as well. Routes 604 and 608, which were part of the market analysis that we did for the 355 corridor, that came out of a study that we recently completed last year. They'll act as local distributor feeder services that will connect the I-90, connect to the I-90 trunk lines. Route 604, shown in yellow, will operate via Dundee Road, Illinois 53, which is 290, down to Meacham and into the Northwest Transportation Center, where we'll connect. And then Route 608 will operate from the Walmart in Addison, located at Lake and Rawling Roads, and then we'll connect into Northwest Transportation Center, as well as distribute people out to those shops in these areas. We'll also be implementing three call and ride services at three locations: at the Des Plaines Oasis, the Northwest Transportation Center in Schaumburg, the Woodfield area, as well as the Barrington Road Corridor. For those of you who are unfamiliar with what a call and ride is, they are typically operated in low density areas where land uses aren't necessarily conducive to our larger buses. The services are zone based, with areas typically no larger than 8 square miles. Passengers can access these services via time connections with the trunk light services, or they can call the call and ride number. That number will link you up to the cell phone of our driver, and you only have to make the reservation 1 hour ahead of time, in some cases less, and the driver will take you anywhere within that zone throughout the hours of operation. And the real benefit to this is that it will give our passengers curb-to-curb service in these areas where it's very hard to figure out that last mile to get them to the trunk lines. And finally, we do have some existing services that are going to connect into those two western park and rides. Those would be Route 543 and Route 550. Route 550 serves the Sherman Hospital, which is a very important asset to the western portion of the corridor. We also serve different corporations such as Chase and Fisher Nut. It would also connect down into the Big Timber Metro Station. Route 543 serves the Illinois 25 corridor and reaches as far north as Carpentersville. And there's some other transit connections that people can make up there to get to some low-income housing up in Carpentersville. So when everything is said and done, we'll go from those four routes that I'd shown you earlier to this robust transit network along I-90. And so now Brandy's going to get into more of the specifics about how we're going to pay for all of this.
Thanks, Charlotte. Okay, so to briefly recap, we just saw in the previous animation slides, our plans for the corridor include the initial rollout will be the expansion of our existing 600 and 610 service, and then we're going to create four new fixed route services to serve Palatine, Elgin, Addison, Rosemont, and the Schaumburg area, and then we're going to establish three new call and rides to provide those first and last mile connections for our passengers. In addition to these services, on the capital side, we're looking to establish a temporary park and ride lot at Illinois 59, specifically at the Sears Center, and Charlotte talked about that a little bit. At the full rollout, we will be looking to secure three park and ride lots at Randall Road, Illinois 25, and Barrington Road. And we've already been working with the tollway, we've already identified some park and ride areas which will work for our services. Operationally, and the coordination we've been doing with the tollway planning staff and their design consultants, there's been discussion about using these areas that we've identified as marshaling yards or staging areas, and then transitioning those areas to park and ride lots after the roadway is complete. We also know that this corridor is going to be highly visible, so we're planning to use some distinctive branding features on our transit vehicles, to kind of call some positive attention to the improvements that have been made in this corridor, and then also putting significant marketing resources and the community outreach fees and marketing of these new services. And then lastly, in terms of vehicles, we're planning to procure between 20 to 25 suburban style transit vehicles, and here are some examples of some vehicles that we actually have on the road now, and then three circulator vehicles for our call and ride services. So as we mentioned earlier, Pace currently has a ridership of, in the corridor, about 2,500 weekday riders in the corridor today. Based on our initial service design, demographic analysis, and the region's current mode split, we're projecting this ridership in the corridor to reach roughly around 5,400 riders, which would be an increase of 146%. The estimates that we've determined today are pretty conservative, and it's a number we hope to achieve within the first year of operations. Again, these numbers are based on initial service design. Once we continue to get into the planning process and continue to refine these numbers through the planning process. So as we mentioned earlier, PACE's current investment in the corridor, which you can't see there, but it's $2.7 million, which is something we program annually into our operating budget. For the full rollout, we project that the capital cost for the 3 parking rides and the 25 transit vehicles is going to be about $20 million, and the cost to operate the service is going to be about $10 million a year. So in the first year, we're projecting to spend around $30 million. Currently, $39 million has been identified in CMAQ funding for this project, as well as future operating dollars for CMAQ through the year 2018. So that's the funding piece. Next, I'll hand it over to TJ, and he'll discuss the timeline, next steps, and then we can answer any questions you may have.
We're going to do this in two steps. The first step is, as we indicated, expansion of the two routes, 600 and 610, to make those bi-directional. That would occur in the fall of 2013, basically a year from now, and get a temporary park and ride at 59. Longer term, it's really coordinating with the services that are provided with the reconstruction of the tollway. So the way that works is that we would have the services available at the time that the reconstruction is completed, and obviously 3.5 years, 4 years from now, and there's a lot of work to be done in that time period because we are going to have to look at a new maintenance facility to support this and have a lot of conversation about what kind of vehicles we use on the roadway as well. And the final one is, really what is our next step? And the next step, of course, is communications. And that is working with tollway staff. And also for you board members, I want to put this plug in, is that my board is very interested in what you all are thinking of this project. And my chairman specifically really wants to hear from you if you have specific ideas or you have questions, he is more than interested in hearing about those. And they may be tough questions, but we want to know what those are, because we see this as a high priority for PACE. We see these services that are occurring to get people to work as our major role in supporting economic development in the region. Recent Brookings Institute study has shown that the Chicago region, northeastern Illinois, has very little access to suburban jobs by public transit. The number is in the terms of 10%. And that just does not work well for people that are out of work. And it's our purpose, of course, to make sure people can get the jobs in and can support their families like we all want to do. So, to leave you with that thought, I'm always available. I always answer my phone. My phone is forwarded to my cell phone, so if you call me at 6 o'clock at night, you can't avoid me. I'm more than likely going to pick it up. And I know that my chairman is interested in hearing your comments and wants to know what you think. So with that, that's where we are. We're open to any questions on Randy and Charlotte and I.
So I think just to clarify, the thinking here is that for the existing or the new service that's on I-90, once our improvements are built, there's an opportunity here for, again, during those peak travel times or rush hour when it's necessary, that the buses could use that new shoulder/lane that's being added, right?
Yeah. Correct. The key to our service is keeping our speeds up. That's what kills the public transit system, is if your speeds, if you can't be consistently on time, because you're telling everybody you're going to be on time, and if you can't keep the speeds of the system up, because our operators get paid by the hour, not by the mile, and every time the speed goes down, our operating costs go up, and every time our speed goes down, our ridership goes down. So these are very important things to us, is to keep track of how quickly we can operate in a corridor and how consistent we can be. And the proof is in the pudding. I-55, same exact service, same exact market, same exact everything. All of a sudden, we're on time and we're getting people downtown as fast or faster than they could by car. They're riding.
TJ, you mentioned the ridership going off. Can you give us those numbers again on 55?
Yeah, it was, I had written down. Went from 364, which was at the beginning in November, you know, Veterans Day last November, and we're now at a little over 500 and about 570. So it's about a 64% increase.
And that's rush hour only?
It's only peak hour. That's all we're operating is in peak hour. The benefits to the roadway are that, if you think about it, a lane can carry, what, 18? Do you figure 1,800?
Crowded lane is 1,800?
Yeah. It is 1,800. Theoretically, a lane of traffic can take 2,000, right? That's what we always used to think. So you see what this does. This provides you with another 10% of one lane, and what would that cost? You can't build 10% of one lane, but also the cost of one lane mile of roadway is pretty significant. So this is a good deal.
So I guess I have some questions about the cost estimates, but maybe it's too early to talk about that. If this is the, I can't even see what, third to last slide, I guess. This is 1 year, and the capital is?
The capital is for the entire program.
Okay.
So we would plan for these capital costs between 2012 and 2016, and then we wouldn't incur those again.
I see. And approximately, what is the one-year operating cost?
$10 million.
Yeah, the gross is approximately $10 million. That does not account for revenue.
Okay, and that's what I was going to ask.
Right.
Do we have projections on
that? Revenue probably about perhaps a little bit more. We have a very interesting thing going on now because we have this open standards fare system that we're working on with the CTA, and it's going to present some opportunities that I'm very excited about. So I feel pretty confident that the $2 million, $2.5 million in revenue is a good number, but I think it could be more.
And the capital costs it over how many years, approximately?
2012 to 2016.
Okay, and right. Then I see that here. And then the CMAQ money is that earmarked only for the capital?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's for both capital and operating?
Okay.
Just briefly, can we talk about what CMAQ, we are familiar with CMAQ funds, but what are CMAQ funds?
It's a federal congestion
mitigation
air quality funding, primarily to it's a way of providing funds for these kinds of projects that take cars off the road or provide better traffic signal coordination or provide anything that reduces vehicle miles of travel or reduces delays and air pollution.
There were a lot of applicants for this money to CMAP, and this project was made grade number one.
And Christy assures me it will be there indefinitely.
Well, you can never. I would not say that I assure you it will be there indefinitely.
Yeah.
But it's been a pretty significant source of funding, and it's been a program that's been around for some time. Continues to be prioritized in federal budget.
And that's right. And I think that realistically, as we manage our way through this, we do have significant amount of time to work this project. I feel fairly confident that we'll get 3 or 4 years of funding on a CMAQ for the operating side of it, which really gives us the opportunity to work this into our budget, which is what PACE does. We have balanced budget that we took to the RTA. We've been doing it for a number of years, and that's what, you know, just like the tollway board, this is what my board demands of me. Don't bring me a budget that we can't fund, so we don't.
TJ, basically what I'm seeing though is that if we're using bus rapid transit, using the shoulder lanes, you could be more assuring of time schedules, et cetera, which in consequence really helps you build your ridership so that you're operationally over time, your subsidies or whatever would be vastly reduced by being able to build that ridership through the beyond time performance of the system.
And it's a yes, and a great benefit to employers. Their employees are going to be there at the same time every day. Their employees are not going to be driving their cars, getting involved in traffic accidents and car breakdowns and all those things that happen. It's going to be a significant improvement in the region for people that work in that corridor.
And in our I-90 project, Rocco, are there any special considerations we need to do in terms of design based on BRT?
So what we already have been planning and working on, I have to actually compliment both Charlotte and Brandy for showing up at our monthly coordination meetings and working with our designers and design coordination managers and our planning staff to put a lot of stuff together, get to see a lot of the sausage making that actually happens here on Building Road. That being said, yeah, what we've already been planning for within the roadway design itself is this wider inside shoulder, which we've talked to you about. Typically it's about 12 feet. This one is 17 and a half feet to allow us to have some flexibility on the use of that shoulder now and then, even in the future, could be for, you know, for a dedicated type of transit service. We're looking at the opportunities for managing the traffic and the lanes too, and limited access to and use of the corridor. So the footprint of the corridor has already been contemplated with all this in mind. So we're proceeding with this. The operational work is something that we continue to work on as we start rolling out the project and getting more information about the traffic and the behavior of the traffic.
So we're really talking about to be able to encompass this in a slightly larger shoulder lane.
Which has always been contemplated, and it's in everything that we're doing right now.
Yeah, kind of a simple manner.
I believe 4.5 feet additional width.
Perhaps not so simple.
Right.
Okay. Are there any questions from the committee?
You want to send a message to their chair?
Sure.
You think this is great? I'm very excited to appreciate the time and the energy and the commitment and the coordination. And we hope he needs to send a message back to us that he will do that.
Okay.
That everybody's coordinating well.
Carrier pigeon.
Right. This is very exciting.
Well, I think the tollway is, you know, has a real commitment to sustainability. Reducing emissions is, you know, is important to us as it is to you and everybody else. And being able to reduce congestion by utilizing alternative forms of transportation like this that are reasonably simple to build into the system, becomes a bit of a no-brainer. And we're pleased to see that you're moving forward with things, and we do want to keep close touch with you going forward.
Okay.
Great. Your presentation.
I have to say they have no choice but to stay in close touch with us.
We'll be here next
time.
Yeah,
right.
We can call his office and get him on his
billing.
You've made me look bad. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm usually free up about 10 at night, so I'll be calling you.
I won't be answering. I'm asleep at 10.
Right.
So.
Well, I just wanted to thank all of you for coming today, and I'm sorry we were a little delayed in getting started, but we're very excited about this project, and I know our board had a real commitment to it since they initiated the Move Illinois program, and just from the very beginning, I think it's exciting that as we rebuild this corridor, we're thinking about how transit is going to be accommodated, and I think ultimately it's a tremendous benefit to our customers as well, because I think, what, each bus is 35 cars off the road, I think
right.
That was the earlier statistics, so you know that's I think also good news to our customers and drivers who use our system. So thanks to you, and thanks also to Rocco and his team and Paul's team and all of the staff here who've been, I know, coordinating with you, and it's often maybe a little bit more work to work together, but in the long run I think it's going to really pay off for us. So thanks everybody.
Is the shoulder riding going to be seamless
for this corridor. Unlike, you know, 55, there's some issues with bridges and there's some portions where you have to go back in along the traffic flow. Is this going to be a seamless shot for them?
Yeah, we are fully planning on implementing a widened shoulder throughout the whole lane.
So we're accommodating it with our bridges and our work we're doing now.
Great, thanks.
Thank you. All right, so now we'll slip back into the order of succession on the agenda here. Christie, you want to? I guess Rocky's going to.
Rocky's going to do. Go
Rocky
over.
Works at pace.
Rocky's going to go over the strategic plan as we always do, and I think this discussion certainly is kind of partially checks one item off the list, which is some of our multimodal planning. But if you want to go through the committee work plan, and then I think we're going to go through the interchange policy, which we've been discussing at length over the last couple of committee meetings.
Nancy pulled this up. Yeah, so the
blue board?
What's that?
Not yet.
No.
No. The work plan conflict. Yep, that's it.
Perfect. It won't work with the clicker right now. There it goes. Okay. Sorry.
I got the magic touch on this.
All
right. Serious thing to talk about. You see that simple on the agenda. Strategic plan. Strategic plan committee work plan. It's, today we're going to talk about the interchange policy. Hopefully take that one off the list. Multimodal planning. We can start some discussions. We'll also talk about the sign policy. We've had some discussions about environmental sustainability policy. We still have some work to do on that. Other things that you're going to see coming up from, you know, maybe from now, really through the end of the year, the landscape permitting policy and some things that we're working on external communities. You might see some stuff that's recently come out of congestion pricing. We've seen that, so that's kind of where we are. But we are tackling items on the strategic planning committee work plan, so about that. The other coming up. Give you some of the updates on our core planning council, or I should say some of our council updates. I-90, we do have some community outreach coming up November 2nd. We're going to be pulling all the communities together. We've done something similar on the west side of I-90, so we'll do this now with these. Eastern communities, whether from Elgin all the way into Rosemont, bringing in all the communities and the partners and stakeholders. Just give an update about what's happening, where we are with the planning process. The eastern section is a little bit, behind. The western section, since we're tackling that first, and the construction standpoint, we're pretty solid there. East, it's really, we're starting to educate the locals on what it is that we're planning and doing. That meeting will occur on November 2nd in Hoffman Estates. We've also, just to give you some updates, we've been continuing to talk with Boone County and Belvedere about an interchange at Irene Road. This is brought this up several times. I want to keep this on the radar screen too. We'll be likely bringing some form of intergovernmental agreement to you in the coming months on that particular project. And some of the other, we've been meeting with JAWA, the Joint Action Water Agency Committee, on a monthly basis to talk about some of our coordination of what we're, how we're going to approach the JAWA line that's within our right of way. The order of operations there is we're going to do what we can to avoid it. We can't avoid it. We're going to protect it and relocate it. It's a big utility line within the corridor. And then ongoing agency meetings that we have on the I-90 corridor. Elgin O'Hare West Bypass, as you was brought earlier to the FAO committee, was establishment of the local advisory committee. The kickoff meeting for the local advisory committee is currently planned for October 29th here at Tollway. A lot of good things are happening on the federal approval front. The final environmental impact statement, the federally required federal final environmental impact statement, FEIS, is moving forward. It will be submitted to the Federal Highway Administration hopefully by the end of this month. With the record of decision, the final federal piece of approval anticipated by the end of the year. So that's positive. We also had a quarterly mayor's meeting with the Elgin O'Hare communities on September 17th. We've been bringing the mayors together on a regular basis to provide them updates on what we are doing and to hear what they're doing also to help close the funding gap. Interstate 294-57, as you well know, that project is now in the construction. Here's another one where we've been doing some quarterly mayor's briefings. I don't want to necessarily call this quarterly because maybe it's a little bit more than quarterly. That was what the the community agreed to, provide updates when there's something to update them on. I'm sorry, the quarterly mayor's meeting is on November 13th, not October 13th.
And going back to Elgin O'Hare bypass, you had one on September 17th?
We had one on September 17th.
Is there another one scheduled?
We haven't scheduled yet, it'll likely be sometime in December. So we've got an open house that is that we had on 294-57 on September 13th. I'm not sure why the C is there. Hanging C. We had about 40 people attend. 294-57 open house. We talked about a lot of different things, land acquisition, project status. We had some local officials actually speak. We spoke there as well. The people that were in attendance really had time to share information with the community about what's happening with construction. The Department of Transportation was also involved in that meeting. The other thing that's happening with 294-57, the CMAP has established or approved a grant for a local technical assistance program for an economic development grant with all the communities around the 294-57 interchange. Basically making sure that these communities are planning and preparing for the benefits that are going to come with this project. Making sure that their land use and zoning is aligned with the type of traffic that's going to be coming into these communities. So there's, again, just getting everybody aligned, so this is a good thing that will help those local communities focus their efforts, collectively focus their efforts as opposed to individually. So the kickoff of that was on October 10th, which is really kind of gathering all the communities together. But that will be a regular meeting that CMAP will run, and we're very much an active partner in that. The 53-120 project, there is a LTA and also a local technical assistance program grant that was awarded by CMAP for a corridor land use plan. It's basically bringing all 19 communities together to come up with a unified vision of how this 53-120 corridor can and should look to support some of the recommendations that were in our Blue Ribbon.